Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastu Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. Prabhudhe Jnana Bhakti Bhyam Atmanyananda Chinmayi Udet Yanutama Bhaktir Bhagavat Prema Lakshana. When this pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love of God is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. Right? So the spiritual experience, when it's in connection with cognition and service to please Krishna, right? So when the Ladini and Samvit are combined, you're using your intelligence, your endeavor to please Krishna, then it becomes nice. Jiva Goswami quotes a Bhagavatam verse to confirm this. This combination of knowledge and devotion is mentioned in the 11th canto. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, through knowledge, you should understand your actual self. Then, advancing by clear realization of Vedic knowledge, you should worship me in the mood of loving devotion. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.5. But so, in other words, you try to understand Krishna and apply it. Right? If we're just applying, you know, that's nice, because Jnana and Vairag will come. But then here, as we see, the recommendation is, through this knowledge, you should try to understand the self. Right? Because otherwise, who's working? Who's rendering this service to Krishna, right? So it's the jiva, right? Not just the conditioning. Right? And even if we're connected to the conditioning, what knowledge, how to connect that conditioning to Krishna, right? But doing that to please Krishna, then that becomes a good process, right? And we, as we've seen, having knowledge with not applying it in devotion doesn't really get you a whole lot, right? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains this verse in relation to the Dasamula Tattva. Real knowledge is nothing but knowledge of one's relationship to the absolute. Real knowledge is identical with the knowledge of subjected natures, of chit, animate, and achit, inanimate, and Krishna, and of their mutual relationships. Here, mental speculation is not alluded to, since that is antagonistic to service, bhakti. The knowledge that embraces only the first seven of the 10 basic principles, dasamul, is knowledge of relationship. The substantive nature of the spiritual function, abhideya, inculcated by the science of devotion, hearing, chanting, meditation, tending his holy feet, worship by rituals, making prostrations, doing mental service, practicing friendship, and surrendering oneself are identical with practicing the search for Krishna. It is specifically described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Devotion, bhakti, characterized by love for God, makes her appearance by being awakened by such knowledge and practice. Right, so this knowledge and practice, that's what will awaken. You have that knowledge, then you practice that knowledge, then bhakti is awoken. Right? Because that's the combination. Right? You have that knowledge, using that knowledge you try to please Krishna, then devotional, then bhakti will be awoken. Does it make sense? Such devotion is super excellent bhakti, and is no other than the final object of attainment of all spiritual endeavor of this individual soul, jiva, Brahman Samhita 5:58, purport.
Yes.
So in this verse, the word cognition, does that mean realization of chit and jiva?
It means that's what the chit is about, right? Because you have, in other words, the chit shakti means the knowledge, and it means the endeavor, right? So when that knowledge is taken and then it's applied, right? That's chit shakti. So the chit here, he's talking about the knowledge, the first seven of the Dasa Mool, right? So the position of Shastra, then the position of Godhead, right? The position of the living entities and the material world, and the relationship based on the Chinta Veda Veda Tattva, right? So that's the knowledge. Then you apply that. That's the other side of Chit Shakti, right? So then you have the two. Now, you're doing that to please the Lord. That is Hladini, so therefore now you're dealing with Bhakti. Then you'll get a good result. Bhakti will be awoken. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just thinking, because cognition, it seems to indicate something more than just knowledge.
That's the point. It's knowledge and application. That's the difficulty. So some have knowledge, don't apply. Some apply, don't have knowledge. Right? That's the difficulty. The karmis apply, but don't have knowledge. The jnanis have knowledge, but don't apply themselves. Right? Because they detach themselves from everything. So that's the problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. Text 59. Yeah. Okay. So, in other words, this combination of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana—that's what awakens bhakti. You have the proper knowledge. You apply that knowledge in process, and you do that to please Krishna. Then bhakti is awoken. Right.
Text 59. Scripture, character, and practice. Pramanaischa sadacharais tarabhyasher nirantaram bodhayan atmanatmanam bhaktim apyutamam labhet.
The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. Yes, by slow degrees. It means, in other words, it's you're doing one thing right after another, and you just keep at it, because that's what he's saying. And perseverance in practice. So the highest devotion is attained by that, right? Slow. You know, it means how you're divining slow. You know, you're trying to get from here. You know, or you know, just this universe we're dealing with, having to cross a few billion miles here. Then you have the coverings, which are, you know, a lot thicker than that, right? And then you have the Brahma Jyoti, then you have to get to Golok, which is 51% of the spiritual. So, you know, gradually, and that is quite a bit. So we're not necessarily meaning here like a snail or something. But it just means step by step, that you don't, you're not looking for, by using the gradual, by slow degrees, then we're not looking for that quick method. You know, it's just like, let's say, somebody is always looking for that quick method to make a lot of money. Right? So ultimately, he never really makes that much money. Well, if he had just applied himself to the actual economic process, and then in the same amount of time, he would have had something substantial, right? So that we don't think that there's some trick, it's just stable, steady, help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. So we have the knowledge, we have the behavior, and then we apply the two. You know, so here, step by step can be very quick, but the point is it's one after another.
This is on the term one step forward, two steps back. Is that relevant as well?
one step forward, two steps back. Why two? Why not one and a half? Or
sometimes it's 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. It's not as though we're always able to move.
No, but what do you call that?
Gradual progress?
Yeah. I mean, something's moving forward. The market's moving forward. Is it just going in a straight line? Yeah, it's going up and down. So it's as long as that's the progression. The general tendency is forward. Then, because if it's one forward and two back, then generally you're going down. If it's two forward, one back, it's generally going up. Yeah. Krishna here appears to be advocating the same gradual process of elevation mentioned in the Gita, Nishkama Karma Yoga, followed by Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and finally Bhakti Yoga, according to Jiva Goswami. The method of attaining prema by bhakti and jnana is here explained. Spontaneously, one will realize one's nature as a pure jiva by constant practice of actions following the devotees of the Lord according to the devotional scriptures. Then, that person taking shelter of the Lord will attain and practice pure bhakti. Digdarshani Tika 559. So it's here the same. Following the under the direction of the devotees, follow the scriptural recommendations.
So that's
Vaidhi? It's Vaidhi, but he says that spontaneously one will realize one's nature.
So next step will be Vaidhi?
That comes automatically. That's the point, is you just focus on doing what you're doing, the other things will come automatically. Right? It's just like, let's say, you're frying something. Okay? Is there something you can do to make it golden? No, you just have to sit there and you know, see that it's properly stirred and this and that, so it cooks properly. That other will happen automatically. That's what it probably uses the term. Because you know what the goal is, so therefore it will naturally come. Does that make sense? You don't know, if you don't have that as a goal, then it won't automatically. Like in Vaikuntha, it doesn't automatically come, because that's not an interest. That's why we know it's there, but it's not a separate endeavor. There's not a practice to become spontaneous, right? Because practice means vaidhi. It just means that comes naturally. So in our line, that's what comes up. So you don't have to worry about it separately. There's an idea, no, there's a sadhana for spontaneous. No. Raganuga means it's the vaidhi sadhana being done in a spontaneous mood. It's not a different practice. People make it out to be, but they make so many things out to be. You know?
Sometimes somebody say that we don't know if we actually achieve
Why will we know it will be
dependent on the mood that we will develop. But if we follow this process, is it obvious what type of mood we will develop?
Do you not become like those you associate with?
Usually.
Then? Yeah, one doesn't have to worry about it. Otherwise, then one starts getting into Jainism here. You know, what if? You know, it just becomes a speculative way to create anxiety that gives more taste, you know, for the individual than they're finding in bhakti. You know, so don't worry about it. It's a matter of what if for this, what if for that. Don't worry. The point is this. When you become self-realized, then you'll know. As we mentioned, is that the process to get out of the material world is the same for everybody. Without Naishkarmya, Nishkam Karma Yoga. Naishkarmya, that's the only way to get out of the material world. So whether you're a Mayavadi, whether you're a devotee, it doesn't really know. Whether you're in this Sampradaya or that, it doesn't matter. Getting out's the same. Having gotten that, one will come to the position of realizing oneself. And then realizing that self, then it'll be very clear what the further elements are. Right? But Lord Chaitanya being the Yuga avatar, this is the recommended process. So for whatever your point is this will be the quickest process. In other words, our process will even be more efficient than other sampradayas, because this is the recommended process. Means if others follow it, then they get this nice, same nice results. But we'll naturally be following. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in his commentary, evidence, the devotional scriptures, namely Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedas, the Puranas, the Gita, etc., theistic conduct, the conduct of pious persons, sadhus, who are pure devotees, and the conduct of those pious persons who practice devotion to Godhead, actuated by spontaneous love. That's the one to look for. Right? So theistic conduct. Conduct of pious persons who are pure devotees, and conduct of those pious persons who practice devotion to Godhead, actuated by spontaneous love. Right? So in other words, those who are following the conduct of pious persons recommended by scripture, and those who are doing the same thing, spontaneously, to please Krishna. Right? Does that make sense?
So, can we say that we have just to stick to the process?
We just have to stick to the process. Because we follow the conduct of pious persons, so when making the thing is, oh, but everybody around us is not pious, we should fit in with them, we should just do what they do, then that's not theistic conduct. That's technically atheistic conduct. Because it's against theism. It's against the conduct of pious persons. Practice, to learn about the 10 basic principles, Dasamula, from the Shastras, and on receiving the name of Hari as laid down in the same, embodying the name, form, quality, and activity of the divinity, to practice the chanting of the name by serving him day and night. By this are meant study of the Shastras and association with the sadhus. The tenfold offenses to the holy name ceases by serving the name of Hari and simultaneously practicing pious conduct. Right, so if we live the standard lifestyle while chanting Hare Krishna, then that's the best situation. Because right, the standard conduct is that you're hearing and chanting about the Lord in the association of devotees. Right? So what you're looking for is the pure devotees. Like not for those who are identifying with their material conditioning and quite happy with it. Right? That's what we're trying to avoid. Practice, quote-unquote, is no other than following the mode of service of the name practiced by the sadhus without offense. By perseverance in such practice and devotion characterized by love, which is the fruit of spiritual endeavor, makes their appearance in the pure essence of the soul. So in other words, just saying that what we're basically already doing, that's what we should continue doing. That's the whole thing. We get into the technical thing. All it does is explain why we're doing what we're doing. So the process is very simple, but we do have very technical explanations behind it. So that's the whole thing. Is mastery is the ability to take something so sophisticated and present it simply. So that we see is that's what the acharyas have done, especially Prabhupada. Text 60, the ultimate necessity. Yasya shreyas karam nashti yaya nirvritam apnuyate. Ya sadhyati mam eva bhaktim tam eva sadhaye. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving service. Remember, this is spoken by the Lord Himself, so this is not... Loving devotion, then whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself. This verse is specifically about prema. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states, the jiva's soul has no better well-being than loving devotion. In this is realized the final beatitude of jivas. The lotus feet of Krishna are attainable only by loving devotion. He who cultivates the preliminary devotional activities, anxiously keeping in view that realized state of devotion, can alone attain to that object of all endeavor. None else can have the same. Right? So, practicing preliminary devotional services, sadhana bhakti, and then anxiously keeping in view that realized state. Right? So in other words, you practice with the goal. Right? Because if you're doing something, if you're not watching where it's going, what will happen?
Excellent.
Huh? Yeah, I put something in the pot, you know, I'm frying it, and I'm just watching the frying. I don't know the goal, I'm not worried about that or anything. What's going to happen? Yeah, it would be something when you finish, probably David would use it to great advantage against Goliath. Right? No? So that's the whole point, is that you're practicing the preliminaries with the goal in mind, and that anxiousness is there, how to do this, how to connect the two. You don't have to worry that I have to figure it out. No, we just have to be, we know what is the goal, and we know what is the process. We just have to see that we're properly practicing it. Then everything will come naturally. Yes.
But in our practice, day-to-day life, sometimes we do not forget about the goal, but just don't think about it all the time, because we are caught in details.
Yes, but the detail, it still has to be, why are you worried about a detail? What's the context of the detail?
I need to get to the goal.
But then that'll be slower, right? It means... Did you say that you're seeing it in connection with the goal?
No, I said that we forget about the goal.
Yes, no, that's my point, is that then at that point we'll be focused, but how well will our work go? You know what I'm saying? It won't go as well as if we remember what the goal is.
But it requires practice?
That comes with practice. That's why it says the preliminaries, because the preliminaries... It's not that when you get on a more advanced state that there's a different practice. It's the same thing. All it is the practices that can be performed by us that are performed in the spiritual world. That's what we do. You know, we may not be able to do it on the level that they do. Right? The associates of Radha and Krishna, they sing for them with instruments. Right? It's about their glories. Right now, the instruments they use, the ragas that they use, the situations that they're in, we may not have that kind of a thing, but we can be there with mridangas and kartals and sing the glories of the Lord. So we're doing the same thing. Right? So that's the whole point. It's just this is more developed. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, it means whether you have a sophisticated preparation or not so sophisticated, you're applying heat, right, in standard ways. It's not that when you're more advanced you boil potatoes differently, you know. It's just you can do more combinations of things, right? I can boil it, then I can fry it, then I can put it into, you know, a nice sauce and saute it.
But don't we say that when we person is advanced, then the taste is better?
The taste is better, but the activities are the same. You know, that's the example given of someone with jaundice. He's eating sugar. In the beginning, it tastes bitter. Right? Then, as you progress, then it comes to the neutral state. Right? Then it comes to the point where you start to taste the sweetness. That comes, but it's still the same sweetness. Just we can't appreciate. So it's not that the name gets sweeter, our appreciation of it gets sweeter. It's already sweet. There's nothing sweeter than the holy name. Understand?
Would this be the dhyana aspect of Buddha Yoga?
Dhyana.
Like remembering Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, you have the remembrance of Krishna, but also just the goal that you're trying to please Krishna. Therefore, it's not a problem to be focused on the detail, but you have to know where that detail is going. There is no activity that you can be successful in if you don't know where it's supposed to go. You know, if you don't know what the end result looks like. So that's why we see. We're dealing with sambandha just who we are, then we're talking about the devotional process, but we're also talking about that goal. You know, and what it looks like, how the Lord, his associates, their interactions, so you know where it's going. Right? It's not that, oh, you know, I want to carry the pot like they're carrying it. It's not about that. It's about carrying it in pure devotion without any other. Without any other. Does that make sense? Yes.
So can we say that those who see the goals clearly, then they are successful?
Yes. But even if one doesn't see clearly, but you know, as much as one can. In other words, you're applying the process, even though one may not have so much understanding, so much ability and practice, or so much clarity on the goal, it still works. Because it will purify you so that it will become better. But what I'm meaning is that when it says the preliminary activities, those are always the activities. Even in the advanced state, you're still performing the preliminary activities.
Yeah, but you don't see them as preliminary.
No.
That's the service.
Yeah. I mean, sadhana bhakti is called preliminary. The same activities, dawn with spontaneity is more advanced. It's called raga. Right? Then coming to bhava, it's more advanced. It's still the same activities. So those don't change. It's the mood changes because you're trying to get the bhakti. Right? But generally we take it because we're working. We're so used to just working with dravya that advanced means the dravya gets more advanced. Yeah. Therefore, Moses and the pompadour. Jiva Goswami states, prema bhakti and nothing else is the goal of that pure bhakti. In the fourth canto it is said, my dear Lord, pure devotional service is even difficult for liberated persons to discharge, but devotional service alone can satisfy you. Who will take to other processes of self-realization if he is actually serious about the perfection of life? Srimad Bhagavatam 4:28-55. Is if you're serious about actual perfection of life, why you do something else? Those on the liberated platform, it may be difficult to perform devotional service. Why? They're liberated, they're on the platform of the soul. There's no, you know, technically, they're not controlled by the modes of nature. Why would it be difficult?
Satisfied.
Okay, yeah, self-satisfied. So they're not looking for anything more? Because what will happen? What's the anxiety? If I look for more, then there'll be endeavor. Endeavor creates problems. Right? What's the purpose of merging into Brahman or coming to the liberated platform? Why do people do it?
Peace.
Peace. And who's the peace for?
Myself.
Themselves. So is it actually nice karma?
No.
In other words, they perform nice karma on the platform of piety. That they're doing the activity in a renounced mood of getting the result. But the result of nice karma, they want for themselves. But for the devotee, then the result is not for themselves, and the whole point of the whole process is not for themselves. That's why it says soul. Right? So there's the heart and the soul. So they have that devotion, and they surrender themselves. Well, someone on the liberated platform might not do that. Right? They're actually wanting their own satisfaction, their own peace of mind by being liberated. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why it may be difficult. But only devotional service can satisfy the Lord. And only when the Lord's satisfied are we satisfied. Right? So now, is the living entity supposed to be in the material world?
No.
No. So better out of the material world, right? Now, best is in the spiritual world. Okay, so first is in the spiritual world. Second is in not in the material world. Third is in the material world. Therefore, why is there Brahmananda? Why is there Ananda in Brahman?
Because it's out of material
world. It's out of the material world. It means the soul has elevated himself out of the material world, which is the proper situation. So now he's got the situation, what he's supposed to be in, but not the activity that he's supposed to be in. Right? So naturally there's some happiness in that, because Krishna will be happy that one's freed oneself from the material energy. But because there's not devotion, then it's not going to move forward. Right? And then ultimately we'll move back into the material world. Does that make sense? So any happiness anybody gets from anything is only because of the proper performance of the activity. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Any activity,
yes. It means any activity. Light the cigarette, light the filter end. What happens? You get anything from it? No. Stick it in your ear.
Interesting.
You understand? So the point is there's a process for even things that aren't recommended, there's still a proper way to go about it. Right? Yeah. So, like that. It's just like you want to, you've got your new Ferrari, you want to take it out for a serious spin, right? So then you turn right into go down to the center of the city, right? No, you head out to the, outside, yeah, on the highway. You understand? So you're only going to get these effects because you're doing what the modes of nature allow. You go against the modes, it's not going to work. So that you're following the rules set by the laws of nature, that's still a step forward in accepting authority, even if you don't know that's what's happening. So by accident, they get happiness. Does that make sense? They don't know actually how to get happiness. So that's the point, is there's nothing that happiness is coming without a connection to Krishna. Just the people don't see the connection to Krishna. Right? And just because it's connected doesn't mean that it's done with devotion or with knowledge. Right? So that's the whole point, is it's even done in connection with him, but it still doesn't attract his attention. Brahma and Shiva are offering prayers perfectly in Sanskrit, hitting all the philosophical points, but it still doesn't please him. It's not attractive. You know what I'm saying? It's not that he's displeased. Of course, he's pleased and that they're following, but it's not what attracts his attention. His attention is attracted by bhakti. So if they offer the prayers with devotion, then that's the point. The prayers themselves aren't what's important. Yeah, it's the bhakti. It's not how technical it is. Therefore, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'm not sure exactly what was the timing, but somewhere in those last days, then someone was singing who was very expert. The Prabhupada asked for another devotee who was not so expert to sing, because it would just be done with devotion. Does that make sense? But that's the nice thing. In the spiritual world, they can expertly do things in devotion. Right? Here we tend to get distracted by the technique. Yeah? Yes?
So, when Radha and Vishnu are performing austerities, because Vishnu didn't know the devotion attitude from giving the benediction to be a devotee, because you have
a
devotion attitude.
The point is devotion attracts devotion. Right? In other words, if you want something, you have to have the thing that you are attracting. Right? If I want to make money, what do I have to start with?
Money.
Yeah. I can't start with no money and make money. So there has to be bhakti to attract bhakti. So naturally, if that's there, then that will come. You know, and if Ravana doesn't have that mood, then you won't get it. Right? And so how do you get bhakti? That's by association. That's why it's called causeless mercy, because you didn't ask for it. It's not like you have on your calendar that, you know, this morning I expect to bump into some devotees. Right? You know, it's just you happen to come across a devotional activity. Does that make sense? You know, you're out on the, where is the, you know, the Sydney, was it Sydney or where it is they have that run? You know?
Oh, the city to surf.
Yeah, they run across the whole city, and then at the end the devotees are there giving out kashad oranges, right? So you're just thinking you're running and it's, you know, nice that people are giving something like this and you're thirsty and great. They don't realize that this, you know, they just started the devotional process. You know? So it wasn't on their list. So that's something. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse. Foolish people sometimes maintain that God may be attained in any way, either by karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, etc. But here it is clearly stated that it is impossible to attain the mercy of the Lord by any means of a bhakti yoga. Right? So when we're talking about karma yoga, jnana, we mean that these are the elements of engaging one's activities in the Lord's service, one's knowledge in the Lord's service, one's mind in the Lord's service. So it's bhakti, it's just these different aspects. But others are just saying that yoga here means connecting with the Supreme. So they'll perform karma, jnana, and dhyana in naishkarmya, and this then qualifies it technically as yoga. Right? But it's not actually, it's not yoga what we're meaning. We're talking about yoga meaning the Supreme Person. It's only by bhakti you can get the Supreme Person. Their yoga, they're talking about yoga with Brahman. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it is karma yoga. We're talking about, you know, the term can be used like that. But that's why you can see is that here Prabhupada is saying about karma yoga won't get. But in other places he's talking about karma yoga synonymous with bhakti. Mm-hmm. It just means the activities. You know, it's like action in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Right, in the Gita. Yeah, so that's the combination of the karma yoga and jnana yoga. That's action in Krishna consciousness. Yes.
Sometimes it may be seen like karma yoga. If people perform, they get the result. Now they take it as mercy of the Lord. They got the result, but actually it's automatic. It's like
no. It means when we say automatic, means that you don't have to worry separately for it, because you have to be careful. Otherwise, then it falls into karma mimamsa, where I did the work, I have to get the results. So we're saying here, automatic means. The Lord has said, you do this, He'll be pleased. So if you do that, He'll be pleased. It's automatic. Is that what it says? In other words, there's not a separate endeavor. You know, you put the little, you put the bowl inside the microwave, push the button, and it automatically becomes hot. You don't have to sit there and like meditate on heat, or you know, hold your breath, or you know what I'm saying, jump up and down, or. Does that make sense? It's that you follow the recommended process, automatically you get the result. But the recommended process includes the knowledge, the activity, and the attitude of devotion. You do that combination, then it works, because then it's sambandhavideya prayoja. You have the knowledge, you're performing that activity, and you're trying to please Krishna as the result. Is that so? Okay. That was Bhagavatam 4:24-55 Purpa. Text 61. Abandon all varieties of religion. Dharman anyan parityaja mam ekam bhaja vishvasan. Yadrishi yadrishi shraddha siddhir bhavati tadrishi. Kurvan nirantaram karma lokoyam anuvartate. Tenaiva karmana dhyayan. Mam param bhaktim icchati. Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal.
By meditating upon me by means of those deeds, one will attain a devotion characterized by love in the shape of the Supreme Service. Jiva Goswami states, this verse explains, that one should perform pure sadhana bhakti by practicing without material desires. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must ultimately worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead, by pure bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Right, now, how do we... Okay, so now in this one we're saying, abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. Now, just a few verses before, Krishna is saying, performance of meritorious activities. Right. So what's the difference here? Is this contradictory? Right. Mm-hmm. So now, like we said, two people are boiling potatoes. Right. One is boiling because he wants to eat potatoes. The other one is boiling because he wants to, you know, offer them to the Lord. So what do we call these two processes?
Karma and bhakti.
Karma and bhakti. So is it the technique that defines it, or it's the attitude?
Attitude.
The attitude, right? So therefore, when he says, give up all varieties of meritorious performances, or all varieties of religious activities, pious activities, and serve me with faith, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm changing my technique? No, it means I'm changing my attitude. Because before, he already said, performance of pious activities, you know, it means what was it? Theistic behavior meant, based on the Shastra, the activities performed by the great saintly persons and devotees. So what's the point? Doing it in relationship to him. That's what the point. Because otherwise, is there something else? Am I going to now do irreligious? If I give up all religious activities and surrender to Krishna, does that mean now I perform irreligious activities? No, it means the same activity. What makes it, why it's called religious activity, is because it's according to its nature. Now, what's the point of working with its nature? Something I want to get from it, or something I want to get from it for Krishna, right? If I work with something according to its nature, I get a result. That's why piety produces results. Right? So people are saying, how to be successful? It's easy. Be pious. That's all. You have to deal with material energy as material energy defines. Right? And who defines that? Krishna. Right? So, that's the only way you'll get profit, you know, success, results. Now the point is why do you want results? For ourselves or for the Lord? Does that make sense? That's what makes it either as pious activity. So, the same activity can be karma, jnana, or bhakti. Does that make sense? The materialist is renouncing sinful activities because he wants to get to the heavenly planets. The jnani is renouncing sinful activities because he wants to get to Brahman. The devotees are renouncing sinful activities because then they can be engaged in activities to please Krishna. You understand? So it's not what you're doing, it's the mentality. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this mentality, is that what we call it? It comes automatically? It comes automatically with the performance of devotion?
Yes. Yes. But you still have to at least theoretically appreciate that and try to make that endeavor. Then it will come naturally. Mm-hmm. Just like writing the book, you have the idea that, yes, you see other people writing and they're going nicely and not going into ditches and, you know, fire hydrants and dogs and grandmothers, right? So then they think that can be done, that can be accomplished, right? So you see that goal. But it's not that you are able to do it or that, but simply that desire for it, because that's what the jiva
has freedom to do his desire. So if you desire bhakti, and that's what you are, you know, fervently wanting, then that's what you'll get. Yes.
So Krishna, he's in the heart of every living entity, yes. So he knows what's the attitude.
Yes, he knows.
For us, it's very difficult because everybody basically performs the same activity.
Yes.
But we don't know what happens, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's why you see different people perform the same action, they get different results. Because if Karma Mimamsa was correct, by doing the activity, everyone would get exactly the same result. It probably gives the example of you know, two people start up a business, do the same thing, one fails, one doesn't, or the doctor performs the same operation. You know, one person gets, you know, recovers, one person doesn't. So it's there's more to it than that, because there's the mentality, there's all these other elements. So, but because we're used to dealing in a world of dravya, of things, therefore we start with the things. Right? Because the things are what we identify with, therefore we put ourselves in contact with things that aren't a problem. So what are these things that are not a problem? The things that the great personalities that they use. So therefore when we say it's a preliminary process, because it's where we start from, but it's still, we're starting with what the great personalities do. You know, it's just like, let us say, okay, you have your car enthusiasts, right? And you have somebody who's interested in that field, okay? Now, would you call it a preliminary activity, you know, to make sure that you have petrol in the car, there's air in the tires, you know, all these things, you have the keys to the car, you know, like that. You're sitting in the front seat behind the wheel, right? Does that make sense? Right. Okay. Now, the advanced personality in this field, does he do the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here, preliminary, because you're talking about trying to obtain the position of the advanced persons, all it is we're talking about the externals of it. It's the attitude that is the development. So when it comes down to what we consider important, or the dravya, that's straightforward. That's simple. It's the attitude that will take time. That's what will take the practice. Right? Does that make sense? But we put so much onto the activity, but it's not actually about the technique of the activity. It's about the attitude. Therefore, something with better technique and less attitude is not as good as something with less technique and better attitude. Krishna is more pleased. Right? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, let's say, the kid, you know, takes their crayon and scribbles something very nice and with great affection, comes and gives it to the mother. Okay, where does it go?
Fridge.
On the fridge. Okay. Now, and then, you know, somebody else gives some very nicely technically painted painting. You know, where does that go? Right? Somewhere, or if it's really good, then over the fireplace. Okay. Now, when do you worry about that picture over the fireplace? When you're day to day, when you're vacuuming and doing this, that, or when people come over to visit. Right? In other words, it's more of a social thing. But the one on the refrigerator, that's personal. You understand? So that's what's important. Now, if someone with great affection gives you a very nice painting, then it has both of those elements. So that's why the idea of developing. But the main thing to focus on is the attitude. The other one will come by practice. You know, the various skills are. So.
Okay.
These verses, this verse mirrors in both form and content the essence and ultimate instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami vasuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives an extensive purport to this verse. The function characterized by unalloyed devotion is the real function of all individual souls, jivas. And other varieties of function are activities of the external cases.
He gives this purport to Sarvadharma or to...
Let's see. No. It's the verse Brahma Samhita purport. You know, because it's because of this connection. Because Krishna's mentioned, in other words, he's mentioned, do the activities, you know, followed by the great personalities, right? In a gradual process, step by step, and then you'll come to the end result. So having given all that kind of that technical point, then he's saying this, sarvadharmam parityajya. So the same like in Gita. He gives all the technique that can be used, but it's about doing it to please Krishna that is actually the point. Not doing it because I'm good at it. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. All other varieties of functions are activities of the external cases. These exoteric and esoteric dharmas, functions, are manifold. E.g., non-differential knowledge of the Brahman aiming at extinction of individuality. The Astanga Yoga Dharma having as its goal attainment of the state of exclusive existence, Kaivalya. Atheistical fruit of ritualism aiming at material enjoyment. Jnana Yoga Dharma seeking to combine knowledge with fruit of activity and the practice of the function of barren asceticism. Getting rid of all these, serve me by pure devotion rooted in faith, right? Because you see, as all of them, it's not as much the external as what the actual goal is. What's the point of it? What's the mentality, right? Because the Ashtanga Yoga system, but having its goal, the state of exclusive existence, that's what's gotten rid of. But the elements of Yama, Niyama, and these things, we use them, that's just standard devotional process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then atheistic fruit of ritualism. So rituals that are not fruitive or atheistic, but they aim at pleasing Krishna, then that's not the problem. Right? Exclusive faith in me is trust. Faith in the form of trust, by the process of gradual purification, tends to become a constant engagement, nishta, an object of liking, ruchi, of attachment, asakti, and a real sentiment, bhava. The more transparent the faith, the greater the degree of realization. Okay, so transparency is something that's always been desired. It's not a new thing. Transparency in devotion.
What does it mean, transparency in the faith?
Transparency in the faith means there is nothing clouding it, right? Because transparent means it gets clear. The more transparent you can see through it, like a very nicely clean glass. But, you know, if there's nothing there, but now if there's some smudges on it and stuff like that, that's not transparent because there's something else mixed. In other words, the mixed devotional service is what clouds it, makes it less transparent. And so as it becomes pure, then it becomes... So you notice here he starts with nishta. Exclusive faith in me is trust. Faith in the form of trust by the process of gradual purification tends to become a constant engagement, right? So by that faith in the form of trust, the gradual purification brings you to nishta, right? Because then when it's there, then you get a taste, you get attachment and real sentiment, bhava. Right? So in other words, the first, that's just situating yourself. You have faith, you associate with devotees, you follow the process. Then by that purification, then we become fixed, so it becomes nishta bhajana kriya instead of anishta bhajana kriya. So it just naturally comes. So then, You just see how, in other words, the focus is that it is, it's steady, you get a taste, these things like that. These others are just situating yourself there. Right? Like, you have to go to the market, you have to plan, you have to clean the pots, you have to cut vegetables. But the whole point is the cooking. Right? So in other words, if we're going to be fixed, that means we're performing a process that is able to become fixed. So the point is association, having faith, that's not the thing that, it deepens. It doesn't change. Associating devotees deepens. It doesn't change. The bhajana kriya, it's the same. Everybody practices the same. It's not different. It's just all it is that faith, everything deepens and it becomes stable. Does that make sense? You know, you're cooking the potatoes in the same pan and everything, but sometimes they're not cooked, sometimes they're burnt, some of them are cooked, burnt and half-cooked, you know, half-cooked. That's the really good one, how you do that, and that's like, that was like the pinnacle, right? Huh? Yeah, so then, you know, how do you get that, right? I guess the main principle is they're hard.
Maharaj, can we say that the Narottam Vritti is very helpful? I mean, Carnegie says behavioral things, it's more on the surface. And
yes, that's because that's, technically it's exoteric, it's not esoteric. Because it's not about the soul, it's not. It's only about, if I behave nicely, it's like this, why would the businessman want to behave nicely? But the real point is why do they bring it up about it? Of course, it's a result. But how is it functioning? How in their mind is it functioning? I behave nicely, why?
Because the other party will behave
nicely. The other party will respect me for that. And will and therefore they'll work harder or you know, be a better partner or another company combining with the whole thing. It's not about that I should have character. The goal is not character. It's simply a technique, a business. It's not about I should have personal character in my own life.
But for us, it's not even about the character in our own life. It should be done for Krishna.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, is that it's not technically even pious. It means, of course, you do business, you have to be behave nicely if you want things to run in the long run. You can say, well, there's plenty of people who don't behave nicely and they have money. That's because they behaved nicely in a previous life. Right? And so now they're only getting the results from them, but not from now. Bad behavior never gives good results. Right? So all it is there, but it's not a matter of sadhana. Right? So it's not lifestyle, it's business. Because then you have to check, well, how does he behave at home? That's the real thing. You know. So some will mention it and they mean it like this, but basically it's always taken as an external. That's how people will interpret it. But the point is even that's not enough. Is I'm doing that because it makes the business go nicely, or it's because it's good. And I'm a good person, so I do good things. But it's got to be, no, I'm servant of Krishna, so therefore I do things to please Krishna, right? If being good gets good results, and I want to serve Krishna, do I want a good result or bad result?
Good.
So therefore I have to act good to get the good result off of Krishna. So my being good is not because it's good to be good. It's good because it gets good results for Krishna. That's why you make the comments about all these kind of ethical behavior in the modern society, but it's all based on economics. You know, people say it's about, no, the need for ethics, but they're only worried about ethics because of their own fear of being exploited.
That's on the mind.
Kind of. It's extended sense gratification. Like that. We're willing to cooperate together for sense gratification, so then we can get more sense gratification. You know, if I cook myself, I have one preparation. But if five different people cook and we come together and have one of these, you know, what do you call it, lawn parties, you know, everybody brings a prep, then I got five different things to taste. So sense gratification is increased. That's the point of pranamaya. But it makes it sound like, you know, it's all about some higher thing. It's not. It's all about sense gratification. We're just willing to use some higher elements to get at it. You know what I'm saying? Like the difference between, you know, how you say, just going in there and sticking your face in the plate, or, you know, nicely eating it in a refined way so no one else gets sick, right? You know what I'm saying? But it's the same point. All it is one's willing to work on this high. And that'll be considered, oh, well, that's better. But why is it better? It's only for yourself. Ultimately, it's we're worried about our own security. But when we're worried about Krishna and let him worry about our security, then that's better. Right? You know, so therefore, we only do things that are our duty. Right? So the king's duty is to protect the citizens. Now, if the citizens are fully protected, is the king protected?
Yes.
Naturally. So it's not because he's taking care of himself. It's because he's doing his duties. Right? The grihastha is trying to create facility for the family, and so that means automatically he has something. Right? Yeah, he behaves himself. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing works like that. So it's all about the mentality. That's the meaning of the Sarva Dharma Paritya. It's that giving, changing the mentality that I'm doing the Dharma for myself, that I'm doing this Dharma because it will bring pleasure to Krishna. So then it's just called devotional service. That's why I say give up all dharmas and just do devotional service. Means give up all other perspectives of doing the activity that will result in karma and jnana and just do the same activity to please Krishna. Like that. So that's the thing, because we're always looking at devotional service means the external. Right? Therefore, you know, the Hare Krishna means, you know, we dress like this, eat like this, this, that. That's actually the devotional service. No, it's that we're doing that to please Krishna. That's devotional service.
And it helps.
It helps, of course. It helps, of course. But it's secondary. It's not primary. It's not because we're doing this. Because otherwise, all pious areas in India, you go, they wear dhotis, you know, they're vegetarian. You go to most all the holy places in India, by law it's vegetarian. Like that. So it's these things are going on, but they're doing it because of karma jnana. We're doing it because of bhakti. So that's why it's said, follow the activities of these saintly persons. Because otherwise you're saying, oh, if it's only the mentality, it doesn't matter what you do. But theistic behavior means following what the great personalities do. Right? Does that make sense? So that's it. If you ask, how will the preservation and conduct of worldly affairs be feasible if one is continuously engaged in the endeavor for the realization of bhakti? Right? Because someone will say, well, you know, how do I maintain this? How does the world go on? You know, nice. Well, if everybody sits down and chants Hare Krishna, then, you know, everything will fall apart. What will happen? It will all collapse. You know? What also will be the nature of the endeavor of the realization of bhakti when the body will perish, consequent on the cessation of the function of the body in the society? In other words, to strike at the root of this misgiving, the Supreme Lord says this. This world subsists by the constant performance of certain activities. Fill all these activities with meditation of me. This will destroy the quality it makes those activities appear as acts done by you. Then there will be the nature of my service, bhakti. Right. So in other words, we're doing it for me because it's my service. Then it takes on all these different names, you know, within karma and jnana. But if it's done to please Krishna, then it takes on the term bhakti. Does this make sense? So that's the whole thing. So here he's saying, well, how will all this go on? Preservation and conduct of worldly affairs. What are worldly affairs? Worldly affairs are things we do. Right? But if I'm doing it for Krishna, is it a worldly affair? No, the same results will be there, but it's no longer a worldly affair. So why does one want to maintain the worldly affairs? Yeah. So, in other words, you're doing all the activities you're supposed to be doing, but to please Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the thing. We're so rooted in that an activity has got to get a result, and I did it, so the result's mine. Right? And then I can be religious and deal with the giving away or the sacrifice of giving that result to someone else. But the idea that I can do the same thing already from the beginning, that it's not mine. Does that make sense? If I'm doing the activity and getting the result and then giving it to Krishna, then that's technically your karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yoga.
That's nishkarma?
Huh?
Could this be nishkarma karma?
Technically not.
Sakam?
It's sakam, technically. That's the difference, is that naishkarmya means it's already, you're already working for Krishna, technically. But ultimately you can say, if I'm doing the activity, the idea of getting it and then giving it up, you could still call it naishkarmya, but it's, that'll be a lower level, right? Because that's what most people will do, right? You know, that's the, if you're talking to general populace, that's what they'll do.
Right?
And devotees, then there'll be the ten that is being done for Krishna, but then they get into this problem. They can't understand what makes devotional service and what makes worldly active, worldly affairs. Worldly affairs is because we consider it ours. Devotional service because we consider it Krishna. So maintaining the house, how will I maintain the house? But whose house is it? Yes, if you maintain your house, then it's worldly affairs. Maintaining Krishna's house, then that's devotional service. Right? So, if it's Krishna's house, you know, should thieves come in and take everything?
No.
No, because otherwise, how do you serve? How do you do? You know what I'm saying? So that's where all this comes. But, well, if it's Krishna's, then it's open to everybody. I remember we had flowers and had like this, and then after Mangal Arati, everyone would come through and walk into the gardens, pick all the flowers and carry them home. Then we'd say, no, these flowers are here for our use in the services. No, but it's all Krishna's. You know, so they can't get this, they can't catch the idea. Yes, it's all Krishna's, but at the same time, there's the element of quota, there's the element of this particular duties, all these different things like that. So they can't catch the, you know, the forest, that's for going out. You want flowers, wild, go out there and pick in the forest. You know, so it's cultivated. Otherwise, and you know, they cook, and then I bring 20 friends, and we all come and just pick everything up. While you've got, while you're in making the offering, we come into the kitchen, take everything away. It's all Krishna's. You know. So that's the whole point, is that these points are gray. But the point is they shouldn't be gray. They should be transparent. Right? That I'm doing it to please Krishna. Therefore, the form of it and the results of it don't change. But the identity that I have myself and the results, who they're meant for, that's what changes. So all I've changed is my identity and the goal of the result. But the knowledge required to do the activity, the performance of the activity, and the particular physical result it gains, or emotional result gains, is the same. It's called devotional service if that whole process is done connected to Krishna. It's called pious if it's not done, but it's according to Shastra. Like that. And if it's not according to Shastra, it's called impious. Because it doesn't get a good result. Okay. Mankind live by the threefold activities of body, mind, and society. Eating, seating, walking, resting, sleeping, cleansing the body, covering the body, etc., are the various bodily activities. Thinking, recollecting, retaining an impression, becoming aware of an entity, feeling pleasure and pain, etc., are the mental feats. You know, interesting is to note that the body is the only one that's mentioned. It means in the, how you say it? You know, when you're sitting down or the ones, how you say it? Wait, am I getting it?
Mm-hmm.
No. It's the essential of all the shamas, right? But it only mentions these ones, the first ones. They're not about the thinking, recollecting, retaining an impression. It'll touch on that, but not much. Then are the mental feats, marrying, practicing reciprocal relationship between the king and subject, practicing brotherhood, attending at sacrificial meetings, offering oblations, digging wells, tanks, etc., for the benefit of the people, maintaining one's relations, practicing hospitality, observing proper civic conduct, showing due respect to others are the various social activities. That's one that's really missed. When these acts are performed for one's selfish enjoyment, they are called karmakanda. When the desire for attainment of freedom from activity by knowledge underlies these actions, they are termed jnana yoga or karma yoga. And when these activities are managed to be performed in this way that is conducive to our endeavor for attainment of bhakti, they are called jnana bhakti yoga, i.e. the subsidiary devotional practices. But only those activities which are characterized by the principle of pure worship are called bhakti proper. My meditation is practiced in every act when bhakti proper is practiced in due time while performing the subsidiary devotional activities in one's intercourse with the ungodly people of this world. In such a position, a jiva does not become apathetic to Godhead even by performing those worldly activities. This constitutes the practice of looking inwards, i.e. turning towards one's real self. So, he's just mentioned all the proper activities on the body, the mind, and the social. Right? So, when those are performed just because of the benefits one will get from them, then that's called karma kanda. Right? When one doesn't perform those and thinks one will still be happy in life, that's called just stupid. Right? Then, when they are done for attainment of freedom from activity by knowledge underlying these, they're called karma yoga or jnana yoga. Right? Depending upon which is more prominent, the knowledge of the functioning of it, or that it's just being done and you know the nice karma, giving away the results. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Then it said, when it's done to please Krishna, then it's jnana bhakti yoga. Because then it's bhakti yoga, but then it's being done to, how you say, it has the proper knowledge because you know that we're the soul. Right? And so we're serving Krishna. But it's still, we're starting with the activities and then connecting them to Krishna. So Krishna's talking about start with Krishna and then connect these activities too. That's the difference. Otherwise, then why is he saying this? My meditation is practiced in every act. When bhakti proper is practiced in due time while performing the subsidiary devotional activities in one's intercourse with the ungodly people of this world. In such a position, a jiva does not become apathetic to Godhead even by performing those worldly activities. Right? So he's just taking us technically through these stages of it. Right? So we don't even start with impiety. We just start with piety. Right? Because that's human life. Then that being done just for yourself, that's karma kanda. That being done with the idea of liberation, then that's karma yoga, jnana yoga, depending upon how much knowledge or not is being applied. Right? That same thing now with that knowledge of the position of the living entity and the Lord and the relationship and these same items being performed. Right? That's called jnana bhakti yoga. It will be your, you could say, your sadhana bhakti. You know, it's your devotional activities. But what we're doing is starting with those activities and doing connecting to Krishna. The other is to connect to Krishna and then do these activities. There's the difference. Right? Like, let's say, within your house, what are some ways that you could directly please Krishna?
Cook
Cook for Krishna. Okay, cooking for Krishna. Anything else?
Arti.
Arti.
Serving devotees.
Chanting.
Chanting.
Kirtan.
Kirtan.
Program.
Programs. Ha. Waiting for that one. Cleaning. You know, very esoteric one now. Right? So the point is, in other words, as a householder, then these are ways that we can serve Krishna. So the point is we want to serve Krishna. Okay? So how can we do that in the household position? This is ways to do it. The other is we're householders, we want to do householder activities. But it's not proper to just do them for ourselves, so we'll connect them to Krishna. That's the difference between the two. Does that make sense? So all it is again what makes the difference between non-devotional devotionalist mentality, but within devotional where we have preliminary and we have the advanced, it's also mentality.
So with the time, hopefully it will change.
Which?
The mentality.
Yes, the mentality. That's the point, is that's why Krishna is saying, just constantly do this step by step and then it will change. Mm-hmm. It naturally comes. Okay. Now, Vide, Ishupanishad 1. Ishavashamidam sarvam yatkincha jagat yam jagat tena tyakena bunjita magritha kasyasvintanam. The commentator says in regards to this, tena isha tyakena vishritena, the real significance being that if whatever is accepted be received as favor, vouchsafed by the Supreme Lord, the worldly activity will cease to be such and will turn into service of Godhead, bhakti. Right? So whatever one has, one is thinking that is by the favor of the Lord, so we can do all these things in Krishna's service. Right? Instead of I worked hard, I got all this facility. It's by Krishna's grace I have this facility. Now I'm using it for Krishna. Then it becomes devotional service. So that's the thing, is how one sees it. Then it's not worldly. So why would we want to be involved in the worldly? You know, well, we need money. Why have material money? Why have a material house? No.
Sometimes it's more obvious what comes from Krishna, and sometimes we have to endeavor hard to get something, and then we tend to think, yeah, I really endeavored, and for a long time it didn't happen the first time, and it was, you know, like that. And sometimes, you know, it happens, and then we see, yeah, this is Krishna, and then sometimes we see, yeah, it's Krishna, but it's not only Krishna.
Yeah, but that's the mixed part. Is that 1/10,000 the tip of the hair never really does anything. is that make sense? You know, because the economic process is still Krishna. It works by his rules. You follow them, you get. And so then, if you're working very hard and it takes a long time, then, you know, it's just how it's supposed to work out. You know, whether it's Krishna's plan like that, whether there's something to learn, whether there's some impurities. So it just takes time. And so that endeavor is that we're supposed to endeavor anyway. We're supposed to be doing things. So why is it this one is, you know, we worked. Yes, we worked hard. We give credit to people for doing that. But the point is that it's the mentality that defines it as bhakti. So still, by Krishna's grace, that we were able to do that for a long time. A lot of other people can't do something for a long time. So how did we get that quality? How was the facility there long enough to continue it for so long? Why was the opportunity there? Others, the opportunity is there, and then they stop to think about it, and then they said yes, and then it's not there anymore. Right? You know, you ever go on leaving... You know, get it there, you know, working out whether I'll buy this ticket or not. Hey, do you think we should get like that? Yeah, okay. Then it's not there anymore. Right? So that's the whole point. Why is it still there that you can still do the work and still make the endeavor? it's still Krishna's grace.
Karma?
Not for devotees, for the materialists it is. But for the devotees, no, it's just Krishna's arrangement. So by his grace, you know, there's a seat. Okay. So Ishavasya says, Kurvanne veha karmani, karma lipyate nare. If the worldly acts are performed in the above manner, one does not get entangled in karma, even in hundreds of years of worldly life. The measuring of these two mantras from the jnana point of view is renouncement of the fruits of one's worldly actions. But from the bhakti point of view, they mean the attainment of Krishna's favor, prasadam, by the transfer to his account. Right? So prasadam means his mercy, his benefit. So that means that we're able to do it, that's by his mercy. And so we've made the endeavor, and Krishna being pleased, we get the result. So it's still prasadam. In this method, which is the path of archana, you should do your duties in the world by the meditation of worshipping Godhead thereby. Right? That I will worship the Lord through these, by the results being for Him. Right? And that results being for Him means that whatever it is, you're going to use them in Krishna's service. That's the whole point. Brahma cherishes the desire for creation in his heart. If that creative desire is practiced by conjoining the same with a meditation of obeying therein the command of the Supreme Lord, then it will be a subsidiary spiritual function, Gauna Dharma, being helpful for the growth of the disposition for the service of the divinity by reason of its characteristic seeking the protection of Godhead. Right, so it's Gauna, it's not Mukya. Mukya means that it's directly done for the Lord. But here, he wants to create, but he's turning to the Lord and will create as the Lord desires. Right? So therefore, that's Gona Dharma. And it's helpful for the growth of the disposition of service to the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Right. Gona means that it comes from the gurus?
No, Gona means the secondary. Mukya means the primary. Right? So eventually one wants to give up this Gona Dharma for Mukya Dharma. It doesn't mean the activity changes, it just means the process of going about it, the mentality changes. It was certainly proper to instruct Brahma in this manner. There is no occasion for such instruction in the case of a jiva in whom the spontaneous aversion for entities other than Krishna manifests itself on his attainment of the substantive entity of spiritual devotion, bhava. Brahma Samhita 5.61 purport. Right, so this has to be Sarva Dharma Parityaja is for those who are not on that platform. Those who are on that platform, there's no need to say that. Right? Does that make sense? It's just like, how you say, the teacher, you know, third grade class goes out, you know, they go to the bathroom and the teacher's standing outside. When the teacher comes, stands outside, the teacher asked, did you wash your hands? Right? So someone who is in the practice of washing their hands, you need to ask them. Yeah. So that's the whole point. This is an instruction for us, because we tend to see things in relationship to ourselves rather than Krishna. So therefore, first to see it in relation to Krishna, and then see it that it's about Krishna, rather than about ourselves connected to Krishna. Okay. Text 62. Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Because after this other, then that's always the last. We see it's the seventh of the Sambandha Gyan. In the Dasamuha, yes. So when one is understood about Godhead, you know, his energies, the jivas, then how does that all connect together? So that's a Chintaveda Veda Tattva. 62.
Aham hi vishvasa chara charasya bijam pradanam prakritif pumanscha. Maya hitam teja idam bibarshi vide videhi tvam ato jaganti. Listen, O Vidhi, I am the seed, i.e. the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate object. I am pradhan, the substance of matter. I am prakriti, material cause. And I am purusha, the efficient cause. Right? So then you have, he's the efficient cause, he's the material cause, and the substance of matter. Because what is it? The cause of something's happening means it's transforming. But what's transforming? Right? That's the this pradhan. Right? The elements of pradhan are transforming. So why is that happening? Because of the material cause. Why is it material? Because this potency is coming from the efficient cause, the purusha. Mm-hmm. Is that? This fiery energy that belongs specially to the Brahman, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects. Right, so this fiery energy, so fiery means this, you know, so there's going to be a transformation, things are going to happen, something's going to go on.
It's more
than passion. Yes. That's why fiery. You know. By bearing this, you know, cool, pleasant energy. No. So that's the mode of passion, yes. But it still belongs specially to the Brahman. So one, Brahman can mean the Supreme Lord. So it's coming from him. It also means the Supreme Lord as his form as Brahman. Because that's where the potency comes from. Because it's in the qualities of Brahman that gives rise to all the dravya of this universe. Right? If you have a dravya, if you have an item, right, a material item, then if you want a result, you have to do something with that item, right? So it means there must be a form and an action, and it gets you a result. What's the point? You want that result. Right? There is a particular quality that you want to get from that, right? Because otherwise, why I have something, why get something more? Right? It means it's just like I have a piece of paper with a face on it, okay? I want more pieces of paper with faces on it, right? So I invest this piece of paper with faces on it, and I get more. What's the reason? Because I just like paper with faces on it? My kid can draw paper with faces on it. Okay, enjoyment, but, and what kind of enjoyment do you want? Something that just flash in the pan? So, what's the real enjoyment you'll get, but what's, enjoyment, okay, that's a quality, but behind that enjoyment, what's the quality you're looking for?
Pleasure, happiness.
Pleasure, happiness, but it has that constantness. So in other words, it has that element of security. Therefore, a lot of papers with faces on it.
A lot of security.
Yeah, you understand? So that's the whole point, is that the transformation of the material energy, the material cause, in pradhan, you know, but that comes from the efficient cause, which is Krishna, as the quality of in this way, economics and as security. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that that's what's coming from Brahman, because it's just security. It's economics. This is impersonal. It's not about him as a person. So now when you do those things, the connection with the person, that becomes, that's then therefore the natural state of bhakti. If you do it on this other level, then it's also bhakti, but it's jnana bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga will be about the person. Jnana bhakti yoga will be about connecting things here to Krishna. Not about just pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the difference.
So how can we function on both levels simultaneously? On one side you want to please Krishna, on another side you want a lot of security.
A lot of dravya.
Otherwise known as guilt.
No guilt.
Okay, so...
A lot of guilt. There's a lot of guilt in these two
Oh, and he's a guilt about the guilt. So, no, but the point is who is security?
Krishna.
Right? So the flat pieces of paper technically aren't the security, it's Krishna.
But they help.
But why do they help? You understand? Why is it that you means you walk into the shop, you know, means I think it's like one shop I went to, you know, and they had a guard there. They stopped me at the door. You know, because you're a sadhu, what are you doing here? You know, this is expensive, get out of here. They thought I was coming to beg. So I opened my bag and showed him a very large stack of money. And then his whole view changed. So why does that paper have that potency?
Krishna.
Was it the paper? It's just that quality of paper people respect. No. It's Krishna's potency that people actually think paper is money. You know, gold. Why? It's just the metal, but Krishna empowers it. Right? Does that make sense? So even that element of security, that's because Krishna has entered, you know, as the efficient cause. That then gives the power to the material cause to create the in property, the substance of matter, that the dravya has value. So there's no distinction between the two. The two are the same. The only reason that it's helpful is because it's Krishna. Right? Means when you're going to offer tarpana to the Ganga, what do you use?
Ganga.
Are you going to offer a lamp to the sun? What do you use? Fire, right? You understand? So you're going to offer something to Krishna in devotion, but all you can offer to him is what's already his. Therefore, the Ishvasya shloka. Krishna gives quota. Right? So this is your quota of his potency to work with. Because there isn't something else. There is no such thing as my potency. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know. The Yeah. Yeah.
So in this sense, the Brahma's quota would be the whole universe?
Yes. Yudhishthira's quota is the whole earth. You know, what we see is, who was that other king? We're just reading about it. Maybe, was it Rahuvana? That he was king beyond what we see here, into the Kimpurushas and other things. We're just reading about that. Unless Prabhupada was talking about another king. But see, in other words, even when we say emperor of the earth, we only know about certain things. You know, so we're only dealing with people in certain places, but there's places that there are realms beyond. And some of the kings are so pious they can go into those realms. You know, like Arjuna could go up to where the Uttara Kurus are and even see them and get a tribute from them. Others will walk by and see nothing and get nothing. Jiva Goswami explains the significance of this final verse of Brahma Samhita. The Lord states with good reasoning that Brahma's desire to create will be fulfilled. I am the most excellent among all forms in the universe, since I am the seed of all forms of God, the complete form of Bhagavan. Okay, so now we also understand who he's talking. Who's talking? Because then some are saying, you know, that Garbhadasa and Vishnu is who, but actually Krishna is saying, he's talking, this is Krishna speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I am the unmanifested state of matter, since it depends completely on me. So he is Pradhan. I am the instigator or witness of Prakriti, Puman, Mahavishnu, who glances on Prakriti, and Kirodakshai dwelling within the universe. What more can be said of my powers? Right, so he's all that, and he's beyond. Right? You also possess this power because I have given it to you, Mayahitam. O Brahma, Vidhe, by that power produced Videhi, the moving and non-moving bodies of entities in the universe, Jaganti. Okay, so he's saying, is that you produce all this with my power. So that's what could be done, is that endeavor
That's done with Krishna's power. It's not our own power. That's the illusions. We think it's my power. It's my property. Right? It's my pradhan. But it's not. It's Krishna's. And he is the efficient cause. So, because pradhan just sits there. Right? Now by the glance of the Lord, then it becomes activated and becomes maha. So it's his power that allows Prakriti to transform pradhan. Mm-hmm.
Yes. This sounds very similar like Bhagavad Gita, Dance of
yes.
18 chapter.
Yes. Yeah, that's the whole thing, is this is not a conclusion. You know, in other words, it gave all those preliminary aspects in Brahma's prayers, and now Krishna personally gives him, being pleased with those prayers, then gives him direction. So that Gita, that's why I said Gita is the ABCs, not in the sense of just being, you know, what kids do. ABCs means the fundaments upon which the whole thing's based. So from those instructions, then everything comes out. So therefore, pure devotion can come by that practice. So all it is when you talk about a literature being on a higher level, all it is what's the difference between Gita and Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita? The instructions are technically the same, because we see is that what's in the Gita is there in you know, throughout the earlier cantos is there very technically in the 11th canto. Right? So basically what you're dealing with is the level of devotees. The interaction of the Lord with the devotees. That's what makes it up. The literature technically higher.
So the application?
Yes, but what they're doing is the same. Is that Radharani's cooking for Krishna, Mother Yashoda's cooking for Krishna. So they're both perfect. Right, but that affection that Radharani does it is in another category. Is that so? Okay, I think we're. Yeah, so end here. So we have this little bit tomorrow. And then, bring the Bhagavatam in the evening in case we run out.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Jai Gaur.